Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. This is Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Thanks for joining me. Today is the season premiere of Railbird Central. So excited for all the new stuff happening on the show this year. Lots of changes. Maybe not lots, but notable changes. What we're going to do this season is we're going to a Monday, Wednesday, Friday format. A little bit more of a regular format than we're used to in the past. We used to be just on Tuesdays and Fridays, which was kind of weird. Tuesdays and Fridays, there wasn't really any rhyme or reason to that. So we're going to Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays this season. And the biggest announcement, I suppose, is that we're going to have regular appearances, weekly appearances by Packers fan favorites, tight end Tom Crabtree and defensive lineman Jarius Wynn. Very excited for that. I should note that we're going to start today with Tom Crabtree's interview, but because of the weird schedule this week, it will not be aired live. I'm going to air a previously recorded interview with Tom Crabtree. Normally, we will have Tom on live, I believe on Mondays on Railbird Central. Live interviews. Just because of the weird schedule this week, they played on a Thursday last week. The Packers actually practiced on Monday, so we weren't able to get Tom on live this week. But normally, Mondays, live interviews with Tom Crabtree and also with Jarius Wynn. So, very excited about that. Some exciting news here on Railbird Central. You'll also notice that we don't have video this year either, but that's all right. I mean, it's not like the video we used to provide was anything too special. It was pretty much just me in front of a camera. But we think this is going to be better. It's actually going to make for better quality audio, we're hoping. But that's okay. Anyhow, let's get down to brass tacks. I see the questions already rolling in from J.M. Stearns. If you scroll up on our live blog, he asks, Eric Walden showed glances of becoming a good linebacker, but what's the timeline on Zombo? That's what I'm here for, folks. You have questions at any time. I want to answer them. And the deal with Frank Zombo is he says, and this is according to Zombo himself, in interviews, he said he'll only miss, I believe, the first 3 weeks of the season. He mentioned week three. I didn't know if he meant he was going to be out through week three or he'll be returning week three of the NFL season. So I'm not quite sure, but that's to give you a general timeline, is that he was pretty positive, you know, pretty optimistic about his return and how quickly it would take. You know, I think when the injury first happened, people were saying something like 6 weeks, and I guess now this injury is 2 or 3 weeks old, but I mean, it was like, you know, there was not going to be any delay, according to Frank Zombo. You know, appears to be a pretty tough guy. If you remember, Frank Zombo, his rookie year, suffered an injury during training camp, and I believe it was an ankle sprain. And although he was out for a while, he came back and played through that thing, which is pretty remarkable because last year, you know, he made the roster as an undrafted rookie and basically did so by playing on a sprained ankle. So, you know, I'm not going to doubt Frank Zombo. He says he'll be back by week three. And again, I'm not sure we need this to be clarified, I think, whether he'll be out through week three or he'll return week three. But again, just to give you a rough idea of when Frank Zombo will be back. And I agree with the comment from GM Stearns that Eric Walden did all right, you know, considering the circumstances. You know, I don't think the defense played very well in general week one against the New Orleans Saints. But, you know, I think Eric Walden had a sack. And you could, you know, argue that maybe it came, you know, as, you know, the Saints just threw a ton. And when Drew Brees drops back 40 times a game, it's inevitable that somebody's going to get a sack. But, I mean, hey, it's week one. We're not going to make any sweeping conclusions about any player yet. But, you know, let's hope this is positive and Walden just continues to improve. Like to see that run defense improve from him. But, hey, the Packers came out with a victory in week one. I guess I should make one more note about our programming schedule for this year. I forgot to announce it at the beginning of the show. We're going to half-hour shows this year from 8:30 to 9 o'clock a.m. Lambeau time, Central time. So that's a half-hour less than our, you know, previous episodes of Railbird Central last season. But we're going to 3 days a week. So we're going one extra day a week. So hopefully that's kind of the trade-off that you'll be getting here. And of course, we'll be podcasting all episodes of Railbird Central and posting them online, posting them to Cheesehead TV, getting them on iTunes. So there's many ways to check out Railbird Central. So, near the end of today's episode, we'll get to the Tom Crabtree interview. So, bear with me. Let's get to today's headlines here. And you know what? I forgot to provide a link to this morning's Packers Daily Links. That's kind of what we do around here, as we follow along with today's news, the news of the day with the Green Bay Packers. And, we follow along with the Packers Daily Links I post in the morning. And normally I post them on the live blog here. But anyhow, I think most of the Packer fans watching this show are up to date on what the Packers news is. And making headlines yesterday was Aaron Rodgers' regular weekly appearance on the ESPN radio platforms in Milwaukee and Madison. If you don't happen to know, Aaron Rodgers now, just starting this year, has signed a deal with ESPN Radio in Milwaukee and Madison for exclusive live weekly interviews. I'm sure he's getting paid a pretty penny to do this, and that probably means he won't be conducting local radio interviews anywhere else. But anyhow, so yesterday he has his local radio appearance. And Aaron Rodgers has said so many attention-getting things. I hesitate to call them controversial. Maybe they are. I'm not sure how we're going to categorize this. But I'll say attention-getting things that he's kind of been criticized for, I would say, in some circles. And so, first of all, the first attention-getting comments that Aaron Rodgers made were in the wake of the Packers' season-opening victory over the New Orleans Saints. Of course, coming into that game, there was a lot of debate about whether the Packers were worse off for not having off-season practices this year with the NFL lockout happening. Of course, all teams were lockout, and many teams and players got together on their own and practiced. The Packers were not one of them. One of the few, if not the only team to hold team practices, large-scale team practices. Players worked out on their own, of course. There was the notable time when all the offensive linemen got together in Tennessee, where Scott Wills and Chad Clifton are from. But other than that, the Packers didn't practice together this offseason. And so they were, there was a lot of attention about that. And it was even more so because the Saints, the Packers' first opponent in week one of the season, were probably the team that got together the most. It was the whole team got together, had off-season workouts in New Orleans. And so, there was kind of this contrast between team that didn't practice versus the team that did, and who is it going to benefit? There was certainly a lot of debate about whether it was even worth it to practice with seeing as no coaches could be there because of the NFL lockout, and they wouldn't have the proper equipment and training staffs. And so anyway, the Packers win, and Aaron Rodgers kind of got sick of all the talk, and in his post-game interviews brought up the fact that, joked about that the Packers, their lack of off-season workouts didn't affect them. Unprovoked. He wasn't even asked questions about the off-season workouts. He brought it upon himself to, bring this up to the media, who's been questioning him about it. And so, Aaron Rodgers, makes a joke about it, basically saying in effect that, could we have done any better had we practiced? At least coming from the offensive standpoint where Aaron Rodgers himself is concerned, he only plays on offense. They put up 42 points and score touchdowns on their first three possessions of the game. Could they have done any better had they had off-season workouts? And he has a point. So he jokes about it once, jokes about it twice, and it's funny. But after that, he jokes about it three and four times unprovoked, and actually uses that joke in reference to a serious question, in fact, posed by, I believe, Bill Huber of Packer Report. Asked him about how he does so well against the blitz. Is saying historically Aaron Rodgers has done well over time. And Aaron Rodgers jokes something like, oh, maybe I could have done even better had we had off-season workouts. And, this is like the third or fourth time, and it's like, you were funny the first time or two, and now it's getting old. And so, Aaron Rodgers responds to this yesterday on his weekly appearance on ESPN Radio, and basically says, I tell the truth, I speak my mind, and he does. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I think Aaron Rodgers made a mistake by going overboard. Is this a big deal? No. I think it kind of painted him in a little bit of a bad light, just because it seemed kind of petty, by the third and fourth time he did it. Had he done it once or twice, it would have been hilarious. Kind of like that Seinfeld episode where George goes out on a high note. He makes a joke and goes out on a high note and everybody's happy. Well, Aaron Rodgers didn't go out on a high note. He didn't follow the lesson of George Costanza. So, he by the third and fourth time, he seems a little petty in doing this. And my opinion, he made a mistake. But as far as mistakes go, this is pretty minor. They move on. And I think as long as Aaron Rodgers doesn't continue to harp on this or continue to do something like this in the future, it's fine. I mean, there's so many other things that are much worse. You know, we've seen the worst come from, maybe not the worst, but we've seen worse come from Packers players in the not-so-distant past. Guys like Johnny Jolly being arrested for allegedly distributing drugs, and safety Brandon Underwood for domestic abuse, or at least alleged. And so, I mean, that's what we're dealing with here. I mean, this is pretty minor in the whole scheme of things. And Aaron Rodgers makes a mistake, and it's over now. I don't think this will be a topic that is going to happen very often. That's going to come up much. So there's that. And then yesterday, also, Aaron Rodgers has to clarify his comments in reference to Jets quarterback Mark Sanchez. Aaron Rodgers was asked a week ago, his last appearance on these ESPN radio platforms in Wisconsin, about the photo shoot that Mark Sanchez did for GQ magazine. And Aaron Rodgers said it was embarrassing. And he didn't really have a whole lot to say, but he said it's embarrassing, and of course people just run with it. You know, oh, Aaron Rodgers is criticizing Mark Sanchez. You know, using this as a jumping off point, this local radio interview. And so now Aaron Rodgers has to respond to this yesterday about his comment about being embarrassing. And so Aaron Rodgers says that what he means, what he meant by it, is it would be embarrassing for him to do something similar. He's kind of uncomfortable doing things like photo shoots like that, you know, especially kind of the way in which it happened for GQ magazine, kind of a very posh kind of magazine, I guess you could say. And so he's got to clarify himself, clarify his comments about Mark Sanchez. He actually calls Mark Sanchez a friend. They have the same agent, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it was another mistake by Aaron Rodgers. You know, I believe him. I believe him. But what he should have done, and of course hindsight's always 20/20, I admit that, is clarify his comments a week ago. You know, when he made them, he said there it's embarrassing. But, you know, the conversation was in reference to Mark Sanchez, not to yourself, Aaron. So why would you say it's embarrassing in reference to yourself when the conversation's about somebody else? So just, you know, not really thinking through what he's saying. PacSmack25 says, Aaron Rodgers is trying to find the balance between being hilarious and being Peyton Manning. Jamie Jor's comments on our live blog. All these comments are coming from our live blog. For those of you listening to the podcasted version of the show, these comments coming live, but our live blog director today, Jamie Jor, is commenting, I just think that Rodgers doesn't fully grasp the kind of star that he is. I think he doesn't really think he's just some normal. I really think he does think he's just some normal guy from Chico. I do believe that. Maybe he doesn't realize the star he is yet, and that every word that comes out of his mouth is going to be analyzed to the nth degree. But he kind of does need to come to that realization here, because, you know, these things, people are just going to jump on these comments and you know, run with them. And that's what's happening here. So Aaron Rodgers, you know, he really has to, you know, be careful about what he says. And, you know, I think I'm seeing this more and more all the time is, you know, he's Aaron Rodgers obviously has a great sense of humor, but almost every interview he does, maybe not every, but I see him aiming for humor in a lot of interviews. Like a lot of interviews, he seems to try to make a point to be humorous at some point. And I suppose I don't really know if he has to go for the humor in every interview. You know, it's not like he has to be funny, especially locker room interviews. I mean, that's probably maybe, well, I don't know. It's fine to joke around, but I mean, it just, he's got to think, you know. And again, this stuff is minor, and hopefully he just learns from it. I like his sense of humor. I hope he doesn't, you know, get rid of it totally. You know, he just needs a little filter, I guess. You know, think about what he says before he says it and how it's going to be construed and digested by the media. And you know what? He's a winner. There's no doubt about that. So, you know, that's where we're at with Aaron Rodgers. And so the third thing now, so we've got the off-season workouts. We've got the comments on Mark Sanchez. And the third thing he said that was noteworthy, as pointed out by Jason Wilde of ESPNMilwaukee.com, wrote a little post about it at their website, is that Aaron Rodgers isn't concerned about wide receiver James Jones. So the backstory here is that... Okay, I got to... I got to comment on this comment here from CEH. If it's minor, why did you spend 5 minutes talking about it? I'm talking about it because it's noteworthy, it's newsworthy. I'm trying to tell people that it's a minor thing, giving my opinion. I'm trying to encourage people to think my way in that, not to go overboard about this, and that it's, you know, shouldn't be misconstrued. That's what you do here on talk radio. You give opinions. So, I mean, that's what I'm doing here. I'm on air for 30 minutes. I have to talk about sighing. I can't not talk about it. Pax Max says, don't feed the trolls. I won't. I'll try to ignore them. Anyhow, the third thing Aaron Rodgers comments about is James Jones. And James Jones, the backstory here is he had one reception in the season opening game against the New Orleans Saints. One reception, and was, you know, largely, you know, absent, or, you know, doesn't get, wasn't seen on the field even a whole lot. He didn't play a ton of snaps. And I've said this before, you know, last year, JerMichael Finley was out for the year, you know, from week 5 onward. And so people had to pick up the slack. JerMichael Finley was out. Well, everyone, you know, is going to get more snaps. So James Jones benefited from that. Well, JerMichael Finley's back. And now, you know, people are going to get less snaps. James Jones and, you know, other people as well. You know, Randall Cobb didn't get a whole lot of snaps. Other tight ends didn't get a whole lot of snaps. So, I mean, it's not like James Jones is the only one being affected here. But anyway, even when he was on the field, he wasn't targeted much. One run reception that I believe came in the fourth quarter, and it didn't even go for that much, just a couple yards, if I'm correct. Kirk Cozad comments, well, at least he didn't drop the ball. True. And so anyway, you know, this catches the attention of people. Here's a guy who had 50 receptions last year, career high, several touchdowns, and here he has one reception in the season opener. And Aaron Rodgers says he's not worried about him. And this is, you know, probably the best thing Aaron Rodgers had to say in the day. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is saying, you know, let's not draw conclusions from one game. I mean, there's only one ball to go around. And when you have Greg Jennings, Donald Driver, Jordy Nelson, Jermichael Finley, James Jones, among, you know, other wide receivers and tight ends and running backs, not everybody's going to have a lot of catches. There's only one ball to go around. There will be a day where James Jones does get several catches and somebody else won't. And so he's absolutely right. You know, we shouldn't be drawing conclusions about this after 1 week. Now, I mean, if this becomes a pattern, if James Jones is continually not getting many receptions, not being targeted, not even seeing the field much, well then I think it's noteworthy. I mean, it's noteworthy now. It's notable for people to notice this, but to, you know, come to conclusions after 1 week would be the wrong thing to do. Question from PaxMac25. Do you think that the Grant Starks ratio will change at all this week, or do you think the carries will shift more gradually? Here's what I think about Ryan Grant and James Starks, Packers running backs. You know, James Starks got a few more carries than Ryan Grant in the opener. Ryan Grant got the start. You know, I think their playing time was probably rather equal in terms of the amount of snaps they were on the field, though James Starks got a few more carries. James Starks looks to be the third down back, or at least playing on more third downs than, you know, other players on the team, as opposed to like John Kuhn or Alex Green, and maybe they'll change as the season goes on. But I think, you know, because he's going to play more third downs than Ryan Grant, and they basically, you know, split their carries on first and second downs, you know, I think James Starks is going to be on the field a slightly more, and I think he'll have slightly more carries. You know, so I think what you're going to see is kind of a 60-40 ratio in favor of James Starks in terms of who gets the carries on the team. But I mean, it's not, you know, I don't see it getting a whole ton bigger than that. Ryan Grant looked good last week. There's no reason not to play him. I think, you know, kind of a rotation with them is good. It keeps each other fresh and healthy, you know. The fewer each of them play, or if they take snaps away from each other, they're on the field less, so they're you know, fresh when they come into the game, and exposes them to injury less each, and I suppose. PaxMac says, Starks blew some protections too, worries me. Yeah, I mean, he can improve in that area for sure. But anyhow, so that's what I see. I think they'll both get playing time. Ryan Grant looked good, I thought. He looks healthy, you know, after moving on from the injury last year. So that's what we have. It's 9 o'clock here, folks, and what I'm going to do right now to wrap up the show is play my Todd Crabtree previously recorded interview. I believe we recorded it on Monday afternoon. Like I said, we couldn't do it live. We're going to have Tom Crabtree live on every Monday in the morning, you know, when they're once they get a regular practice schedule starting here next week, I hope. And but this week it's recorded, and I'm going to play it now. It's just a couple minutes long. I'm sorry, there's a little bit of distortion in this interview you'll hear on Tom's end, but it's nothing so bad that you can't listen to it. But we're working on the audio quality, and I hope to have those issues fixed for next week. And so anyway, here's our Tom Crabtree, the beginning of our weekly interviews with tight end Tom Crabtree. So enjoy and listen in here. Not that audio file. We don't want to play the music. I'm going to get to Tom Crabtree's interview here. Here we go.
Welcome back to Railbird Central, where we're talking to Packers tight end Tom Crabtree. Thanks so much for joining us today, Tom.
Oh, thanks for having me.
No problem. So the Packers kicked off the season in dramatic fashion that came on to the last play of the game after an off-season of uncertainty. I'm thinking that the win had to be a sigh of relief.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're able to win a tight one like that, let alone with all the hype surrounding that one, it was definitely a special win for us and a great way to start the season.
Tom, you were part of an offense that put up 42 points against the Saints. With most of the pieces back from last year and even getting a few new players back from injured reserve, can we expect this kind of performance every week, or what can we realistically expect from this offense?
That's kind of what we set out to do each week. I think we have a lot of confidence as an offense and as a team. So our goal is definitely to put some points on the board and, more importantly, come away with a win. So, that, like I said, that's kind of what we set out to do each week is, play the best we can and try to light up that scoreboard.
I noticed NBC analyst Chris Collinsworth singled you out in kind of a slow motion replay in the broadcast of the game and your contributions to run blocking. Did you get a chance to see the broadcast?
No, actually I didn't. I didn't watch a TV copy. We obviously watched film as a team and made corrections, some corrections that we needed. But yeah, I had a lot of people kind of pointing that out to me, like, hey, did you hear that they were singling you out? And really, I haven't even seen it yet or anything, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
Very nice. We're talking with Tom Crabtree on Railbird Central, Packers tight end. Tom, the Packers kept only one fullback on this year's team, but they used you and some of the other tight ends in the backfield on occasion. Do you think you'll be lining up in the backfield more often this year as a result of keeping only one fullback?
I'm not really sure what our plan's going to be going forward with that, but, I just know that I'm excited about, and I think everybody else is excited about our tight end group, five of us that can all definitely contribute and make plays out there, and, whether it's at a fullback type position or even split out wide, making plays in the passing game, it's kind of just, we're all just kind of, lining up wherever they need us.
Any chance we see you in the I formation this year as a fullback?
You never know. You could definitely, see that at some point. Like I said, not sure what we got planned for down the road, but nothing would surprise me. Like I said, we got five guys that can pretty much play anywhere on the field, and I think a couple of us could probably go over to defense if we needed to, but. So I don't know what's going to happen down the road, so we'll see.
Tom, I hate to bring up bad memories you'd probably rather forget, but you were also on the field when Darren Sproles had a couple nice kick returns, including one for a touchdown. Can you help us understand where the special teams might have went wrong a little bit last week?
I think the important thing we learned from that was that the punt unit is a unit. It's a team, and everybody has to do their job and has a responsibility. And on that particular play, we didn't play as a unit. So I think the important thing is just trusting the guy next to you to get his job done, and you doing your job. And it's kind of a chain reaction. Everybody trusts each other out there, and we bottle that guy up and make the play there. So.
I'll also give credit where credit's due. It had to feel pretty good to be on the field when the Packers broke a decade-long drought without a kick return for a touchdown.
Yeah, for sure. That was a crazy play. It was, I had a hard time even understanding how he broke free when I was out there on the field. And then I saw the replay, and it was just, it was pretty incredible. And we were all definitely pretty pumped up, as you could see when I think one of us actually took down or tackled Randall in the end zone. so, yeah, we were pretty hyped about that. And just seeing the replay, it was definitely an incredible play. And there were a lot of guys on that unit. I think we all contributed some key blocks at one point or another in that play.
Finally, Tom, what do you see from Carolina next week, a team that had the worst record in the NFL and has nowhere to go but up?
Yeah, watching the film early on and then watching some of the game yesterday, as far as their defense goes, they are a solid defense. They've got a lot of guys out there that have great motors that are going to play all four quarters. So, I mean, it's definitely going to be a test for the full four quarters, just like we got last week. I'm pretty excited about the challenge, and I think everybody else is too.
That'll do it, Tom. Thanks so much for joining us, and best of luck to you this weekend.
All right, thank you.
Thanks to Tom Crabtree for joining us here on Railbird Central. His next appearance will be on Monday, live on Railbird Central. So we're excited to get that little series of interviews underway. And you know, credit Tom for being such a stand-up guy. You know, I hate to be... The journalist in me wants to ask a tough question once in a while. I'm sure he rather wouldn't have wanted to talk about that kickoff return. But, I mean, boy, he handles that question well. And you know, it's great that he can handle a tough question like that. And I credit him for doing that and being a stand-up guy answering that. And I try to keep it mostly positive. And hey, the better the Packers are this year, the more positive the questions will be, right? Packers 1-0 on the season. We'll be back on Friday on Railbird Central, Friday morning, and we'll have our first interview with Jarius Wynn on this Friday as we prepare for the Packers' upcoming game against the Carolina Panthers. Thanks for joining us today, everyone. We will see you on Friday morning. Go Pack, go. See ya.